The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. To the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the program. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm playing the role of Eric Metaxas today, and I have a guest who's playing himself, Pastor Greg Locke. Pastor Greg Locke, I don't know where to start with you. First of all, I love seeing you. I'm proud of the work you're doing in your church. I should mention that you're founding and lead pastor of Global Vision Bible Church in Mount Juliet, Tennessee, right outside Nashville.
Yep.
You and I have connected on a number of occasions. We're here mainly to talk about your new book, but let's just talk about where we are as a nation right now. Because the last time you were on this program, I think, was one day before the election, which we know is still being audited today, because there's some crazy people, conspiracy theorists and insurrectionists, like Eric Metaxas, I mean the real Eric Metaxas, I'm just playing that role, who believe that Lady Liberty was mugged.
Yes.
And something happened in America that's never happened before. I think 80 million plus Americans feel the same way. And it's a ghastly moment when you do not know that you had a real election where we the people chose the leader of the country. That's a creepy thing to happen in history, in the history of this country.
Absolutely. And I think more than 80 million at this point, because people are tired of it. This has been a fall down the steps nightmare. I just read the other day, somebody said, this is almost like being strapped to a chair, watching a toddler play with a loaded pistol. You never know what's going to happen. And it's freaky. It really is. And so I think people are sick of it. I think if the election took place again today, there's so many Democrats that would jump ship and actually vote for Trump, because they see the debacle that we're in this nation.
I think you're right. I always say that we have to really keep our heads, because we're being gaslit by the left. They have the power. They control the media to the extent that most Americans think that half the people think that way. And the fact of the matter is, most Americans don't think that way. You've got these really radical leftists who are putting forward a narrative. And I would say, for the first time in my lifetime, really sweeping the facts under the rug when the facts don't suit the narrative. In a way, we've simply never seen anything like it. But I think most Americans who don't have a pulpit or don't have a program, they see this stuff.
Yeah.
They see it, just like you said, and they're thinking, this is not, something is way, way off. And so the reason I say this, Greg, is because I think I want to remind my fellow Americans, folks, it's not just you. We all see what is going on, and we're all praying and waiting for a moment to act on what we could do in the United States of America to preserve our liberties. But most Americans, I agree with you, they see what is cooking, and I want to encourage those who are on the fence, say, listen, folks, you're not the only one. Most people know everything's gone crazy, and I want to tell you, you are not crazy.
You're not. You know, revival is baked into the soil of this nation. You know that. The whole George Whitefield stuff. Man, I'm telling you, people don't recognize the fact God is not done with this nation. We may fall one day, but it will not be to a fraudulent Biden administration.
Well, you know something? When you say that, we were not taught that growing up in schools. At least I wasn't. Most Americans weren't taught that. That without, without George Whitefield and the revivals that went up and down the 13 colonies, we would not have been prepared to take on self-government. And that's, you know, I explain that in my book, If He Can Keep It. But it goes beyond that, where you realize that every single one of the founders, I mean, every one understood this idea that without virtue and faith, this doesn't work. Now, you can't force virtue or faith, because if you want freedom, you cannot force freedom. You can't compel freedom. That's an oxymoron. But they understood that if we the people don't keep the republic, if we the people don't understand that faith and virtue is what holds self-government together and protects the weak
yes.
from the strong, then it all falls apart. And in our lifetimes, we have seen things drift away mm. so that people, they don't know that. They think you can have goodness without God.
Right. And even fast forward to the American Revolution, the Black Robe Regiment. These guys, we've talked about this before, they saved the republic. Preaching in their black clerical robes, pull them off after the end of their Sunday morning message, lead their men into battle, and literally save this nation. So faith is it. It is it. And I believe God's going to revive this nation.
Now, talk more about that, because I believe the same thing. I've been listening to a number of voices on the internet, some people who are friends talking about this, that they believe God has said there will be revival, that what is coming out of this is revival.
And I believe it's coming through the back door of persecution. Our church calls it the Blue Flame Revival, the hottest revival we've ever seen. I'm not praying for a third great awakening. I'm praying for the greatest awakening this nation has ever seen. Because you know as well as I do, once America falls, we're the last bastion of capitalism and freedom on the planet. I was preaching some time ago in Kentucky, and a lady that was saved literally by the Lord and by the government out of a lot of things happening over there in that regime, she said, look, in America, we want you to see revival. But the Chinese Christians are not praying for America to see revival. We're praying for America to see persecution because that will bring the revival. That was a big statement for
wow.
her to make. And she was weeping when she said this.
Wow. Isn't that amazing? Because, listen, when this thing happened with the election and then everything that's happened subsequently, this nightmare, you said, you know, falling down the steps, nightmare. I think it is God's mercy. It is a wake-up call, not just to the church, but to your average American to say, wow. Look how bad it can get. We didn't think it could get this bad. We think it's just going to go back to, you know, the way it was under George W. Bush
right.
or something. It is such a waking nightmare that it is the one thing that I think God uses in history. We see it in Scripture to wake his people up.
Absolutely. I think it's been interesting that the last 15 or 16 months have really been a dress rehearsal because now they know who they can control and who's going to be a problem moving forward. And guys like us, we're just going to be a problem moving forward, and I'm very bold about that.
I have not yet begun to be a problem going forward.
Yes.
I'm telling you, seriously, I think that this is one of those funny things where, you know, if you don't know what it is to suffer and to go in the wrong direction, you're sleepwalking. And most Americans, we've been so blessed, we've been sleepwalking. We need to understand that it can get satanically bad.
Yes.
We can, what happened to China, what happened to Germany in the 30s, these are just human beings just like us. And they slid in those directions, and we are not immune to that.
Right.
God has blessed us to be a blessing, but I think we are going through a season now where we're seeing what could happen if God's people and the good people in America, the patriots, do not stand up and fight.
Absolutely. You know, prophecy for us was so far into the future. We heard everybody say, oh, it's coming, it's coming. And in the last 15 months, we leapt 50 years prophetically. There's no doubt about that. And here we are.
Well, it's interesting you say that because I agree with you. Nobody thought, I mean, whenever, you know, I talk about my Bonhoeffer book, it happened very quickly in Germany. The Nazis leapt in and they just took power and people were just sort of, their breath was taken away, how quickly this happened. Mm. And I have to say, there are some parallels, and it breaks down. I can't compare it to Nazi Germany, but there are parallels that you get the idea, you know, when the devil sees that his time is short, he goes into overdrive.
Mm.
And we have seen abrogations of liberty in America in the last few months that are just, they're mind-blowing. I mean, I think it's a good wake-up call.
Yeah, absolutely. I tell people the church has been sleeping while the government's been leaping.
So you talk about this from your pulpit.
Yeah.
You don't have a problem
not one bit
with talking about this.
Not a
and
bit.
Why is that?
Because if we don't call out corrupt politics, we're not going to have a platform from which to even preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, they say, oh, they're taking our rights away. No, we're giving them away. And I think the church needs to wake up. We have a pastor problem in America.
We have a pastor problem in America. Man, I hate when I agree with people when they say stuff like that. But the problem is, you're right. Listen, the church is so timid today. Mm. Evangelicals have... it's like they bought into an idea which is profoundly unbiblical that being a Christian means being nice
right.
and never fighting for anything. because we don't want to destroy our witness. And I think to myself, if you're not fighting against injustice, against slavery, against cruelty, against every bad thing, if you're not fighting against those wicked things, what kind of a gospel are you even preaching? Why would I want your lame gospel? Folks, I'm talking to Pastor Greg Locke, L-O-C-K-E. The book is Weapons of Our Warfare, Unleashing the Power of the Armor of God. We'll be right back.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day, to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Hey, folks, welcome back. I'm talking to Greg Locke, Pastor Greg Locke. The book is Weapons of Our Warfare, Unleashing the Power of the Armor of God. Okay, Greg Locke, what is in this new, brand new book, Weapons of Our Warfare?
The first book, which we talked about last year, was This Means War. It was kind of the battle cry, the rallying cry to get the church to wake up. Dry bones can't live again. And this one is going into the idea that now we need to learn to suit up and boot up. It's one thing to know about the weapons of our warfare, to know about the armor of God, but you have to activate it. You have to use it. And so before the break, we're talking about fighting. People are afraid of that terminology, but we can't be timid and shy. We have to stand up. We have to fight against this tyranny. And until we get a gutful of it, we're not going to. And so the book is about how to appropriate God's armor in our life individually.
Okay, so let's talk about that, because I do think that there's a passivity in the church. There are people that we had a Pastor Mike Thompson from Las Vegas on here, and he always talks about third heaven authority. Scripturally, God gives his people authority.
Yeah.
That if you are operating in the name of Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit, you have authority. But most people think like, well, that's presumptuous. I don't have any authority. I'm just going to hide back here. And I think that's not biblical, folks. We're supposed to act.
We're called to boldness, not belligerence. You know, I don't have to be a jerk for Jesus, but you know, the world says, oh, you're just arrogant. No, don't mistake arrogance for passion. I'm passionate about standing up and fighting for the Bible, and in this case, the Constitution, because we do have a republic to save. There's no doubt about that.
But, I mean, there are a lot of people in the evangelical world, a lot of folks in Christian universities, so-called Christian universities, that they don't understand this. They almost seem naively to say, like, well, we don't want to fight for America as though that's a dirty thing. In other words, they act as though it's kind of a jingoistic chest beating kind of thing, and that it's about building up the kingdom of America. And clearly, that's not what we're saying. So how do you explain that?
Well, you know, CNN recently came to our church and said, are you a Christian nationalist? They love to throw that terminology around. I said, if you mean by that, that I love the nation and I follow Jesus Christ, then absolutely. But to them, those are two terms that are irreconcilable. They can't understand, how can you love God and love the nation? My question is, how can you not love God and still not love the nation? Because he's a God of nations, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel. And I mean, the gospel, redemption, is for all nations. And so I think if you're going to be a believer, you ought to love the nation. You ought to stand up, because we do have a church issue. Judgment doesn't begin at the White House. Judgment begins at God's house. And because God's house is not in order, because we're not humbling ourselves and repenting, I believe we're watching this horrible tidal wave of a tyrannical government take over this nation.
I mean, I want to say, we're talking about your book, Weapons of Our Warfare, but in my book, If You Can Keep It, I home in on this specific issue of when you say, I love America, what that really should mean is that I love the idea of America. Mm-hmm. It's not a tribe. Yeah. We are an idea, and we are the nation for other nations. Why did Lincoln say we're the last best hope of earth? Mm. Because God cares about every nation beyond America, and he has blessed this nation to be a light for them, a light of liberty. And all of those ideas and those blessings that we have in America come from God.
Yes.
And if you don't acknowledge it as such, if you think you're better because you're an American, you're a fool.
Right.
That's not what the scripture says. But people on places like CNN, they are so uneducated. They are basically illiterate with regard to the history of America and certainly with regard to what the scripture says. So they kind of come at it like, well, if you love America, that's just like, you know, Nazis loving Germany. Mm-hmm. They don't seem to be able to understand. But I mean, seriously, yeah. They do not understand how you or I would be different from Nazis who love Germany. And by the way, let me put it this way, because I say it in my Bonhoeffer book, the true Germans hated the Nazis.
Mm.
Okay? The Nazis didn't love God's idea of Germany. They loved Hitler's idea of Germany. But a true German loves God's idea of Germany. And a true American only loves God's idea of America.
Yeah.
We're not talking about, you know, crushing the heathen. And we're not talking about that
right,
kind of
exactly.
a country. Now, what I just want to ask you your background, Greg, because what brought you to this place? What is your story? Because there are so few pastors in America. I'm meeting more and more that are like you, and I praise God. But what led you to be the man of God you are today?
You know, I traveled for almost 11 years as an evangelist, 48 states, 15 countries, and so I just began to see the demise. I began to see the crumbling of our nation. And so then 15 years ago, in 2006, I came off the road full-time, started the church. It was way before any type of social media presence. You know, the thing just blew up in 2016, and we just, you know, the sky was the limit. And so I just began to see that pastors just aren't standing. They just kind of have this willy-nilly idea, just kind of approach the pulpit, dearly beloved, welcome to be here. And people were bored. What I'm finding is men that hate church love our church. And wives are super excited because we have hundreds and hundreds of men that are coming to our church like, we want a man to be our pastor. We want this guy to stand up and say what needs to be said. And so I think the lack of having a backbone drove me to want to have a ministry that stiffens people's backbones. That makes sense?
It makes perfect sense, and it's wonderful to hear. Just to hear, Albin, am I right? Just to hear him pronounce men. We say men. With the way you say it, it's like, man, I'm getting a backbone in me just hearing it. But no kidding, I think that is part of the magic sauce, that there's a Jezebelic spirit afoot in the land. And when men are men, women love it. They think, where have you been?
Yeah.
And men love to see that. And that's why churches have been feminized. Look, this goes way back into the 19th century. Mark Twain made fun of it, that, you know, all the old women love church, the church biddies. But when you see a church full of men who love God, it has a whole different character. And that makes the spirit of this age very uncomfortable. It's at war with the spirit of the age.
Yep.
And it's at war with what you see in American newsrooms and in American media. They are very uncomfortable by strong, godly men.
Yeah, absolutely. This weekend, as a matter of fact, we have Pastor Artur from Canada that was arrested, running out the Nazis, you know, the Polish Canadian pastor. We have him come to our church to speak for a few minutes. I'll be sharing the platform with him. And I told our men a few weeks ago, look, if it ever happens here, who is going to stand up and take the mic? And I bet we had 250 men stand up and say, we'll preach, we'll stand, we'll do what's right, we'll carry on the torch. And that's what is missing in the church, men that will stand up and be men of God.
Holy guacamole. Albin, are you listening to this? We can't post this on YouTube. This is red hot. Oh, we've been banned from YouTube anyway. Oh. Praise the Lord. So listen, though, what you're saying, I know this resonates big time. There are people around this country. They're already there. They're just like, yes, yes, yes. And I have met a handful of pastors like you that it's such a breath of fresh air, and their churches like yours are blowing up. The numbers, people are so hungry. I'm speaking at Pastor Ken Graves' church in Bangor, Maine.
In Maine, yeah.
That guy's got the kind of voice that makes us sound like women. It's just like he gargles with gravel in the morning. But we got Rob McCoy's church, Jack Hibbs' church. Around the country, there are a number of pastors that have stood up like you have, and it is astonishing how God has blessed these congregations, their social media. Tell us about that in your church, because the numbers, the social media.
And it is astonishing. What is more astonishing is the fact that there's so few of us that have stood up and done this. I mean, people are like, well, there must be hundreds of them. No, there's about 20 of us, really, in the entirety of the nation. So we were in our church, and of course, we've had, you know, a few million followers on Facebook and Instagram and all that for years. But once COVID started and we refused to bow, we were in multiple services in a small little building that set maybe 250 people, and now we're in a tent. And everybody's like, oh, you're in a tent because of COVID. We're in a tent because we can't get back in the building because we have 1,000 people coming every Sunday morning in a massive tent that'll hold 1,600 people. So for the sixth time, CNN showed up with their cameras, and a couple of weeks ago they said, oh, we're bothered by what you're doing because you have profited from COVID. I said, no, we profited from courage. That's what we profited from. People are coming because they want bold leadership. And so that's what's happening.
I mean, if people, you know, I know people can't listen to every syllable on this program, so let me just sum up. CNN, when they say stuff like that, that is the voice of the devil. Okay? That is the voice of the devil when they say, oh, you're profiting from COVID.
Yeah.
What a satanic lie.
Yes.
What a filthy, pernicious lie. People are so hungry for what you are exhibiting, and you know it's God. It's not Greg Locke. It's
Absolutely.
God, and you acknowledge it. And listen, I think people on the left are scared because they have, you know, to quote the movie Torah, 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 they have awakened a sleeping giant.
Mm.
It is the Church of Jesus Christ, which believes in liberty, believes in godly manhood, these basic things that if you really understand them, you're not threatened by them. You are thrilled. You're blessed by them.
Absolutely.
And so I think there are a lot of men across the country who are seeing this. And listen, Greg, I would bet that it is because of what has happened, because of you and a few other pastors have stood up, that is what is leading to revival. In other words, men who would never be bothered with church are saying, wait a second, I can get behind that. And guess what? Thanks to COVID, people are watching this stuff on the internet, and they're saying, you know what? I'm going to go to that church on the web instead of going to my dead church down the road. I'm going to watch that sermon, and I'm going to have a house church. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. Folks, I'm talking to Pastor Greg Locke. The book, new book, second in the series, correct?
Yes.
The first one is This Means War, and the second one, the new one, is brand new right now, Weapons of Our Warfare, Unleashing the Power of the Armor of God. We'll be right back. Prescription Dispensing Labs is a national licensed pharmacy specializing in personalized prescription and natural medicine. The pharmacists at PD Labs are credited with formulating unique nasal sprays for the dreaded brain fog and a leader in uncovering new compounds to improve your health. PD Labs is one of the first pharmacies to now offer a telemedicine group trained in prevention medicine and how to restore your health. They have developed signature professional supplements that really work rather than just promotional advertising. PD Labs Pharmacy prides itself on innovation and amazing customer service that show dedication to your health. Today, everyone needs a choice in their health care, and they bring many refreshing options on how to maximize your body's amazing capabilities to bounce back. PD Labs has an extensive network of practitioners nationwide dedicated to true health care, not sick care. Visit their website, pdlabsrx.com, for free health tips, podcasts, and their popular online store. Call 888-909-0110. Ask for Ray and tell them Eric sent you. That's 888-909-0110. Hey there, friends. Eric Metaxas here. Folks, I'm fired up. I'm talking to Pastor Greg Locke, L-O-C-K-E. The new book is Weapons of Our Warfare, Unleashing the Power of the Armor of God. So what do you talk about in this book, Pastor Greg?
Just understanding that knowing about the armor of God is one thing, but actually using it, utilizing it. Why the helmet of salvation? Because you have to protect your mind. Because if you lose the battle in your mind, it's only a matter of time before you lose the battle in your body. What is about these shoes of the gospel of peace? We're all called to be preachers, evangelists, apostles of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the sword of the Spirit, it's one thing for the Bible to be the centerpiece to your living room. It needs to be the centerpiece to your lifestyle. And so that's the problem. I can go around the world. People beg me for Bibles. We have 30 copies in our house and we don't even read them. And so I want people to understand the power of God is available to every Christian. Every bucket sits on its own bottom. If you don't have it, it's your fault, not God's.
Wow. I feel rebuked. No, seriously, though, what you're saying, the power of the mind, okay, I realize that during the times in which we live now, It is very difficult unless you are surrounded by the right people, the right voices, unless you're looking at the right stuff on social media, on the web, and not the wrong stuff. It's hopeless. Yeah. The level of lying, I mean, really, it's like, you know, Goebbels had to work overtime with propaganda. Today, propaganda is everywhere. There are people complying with it. And so unless you guard your mind and your heart actively.
Yeah.
And so for me, that is being around people that get it, who can remind me, hey, you're not crazy. We all see what you see. And I guess people are getting that in your church.
Yeah. Oh, they're getting it in the church every single Sunday, every Wednesday, every service. And because we're trying to purify the mind, because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so I'm giving my people a non-defeatist attitude. We are not fighting for victory. We are fighting from victory. And God is not done. This is a beautiful season to live in. This is what Paul wanted to live in right here.
Isn't this amazing? Now, what you just said, I love when Christians say things that only Christians will get. Like what you just said, we're not fighting for victory, we're fighting from victory. Now, a lot of people listening might not get that. So what do you mean biblically? What does that mean, we're fighting from victory?
Yeah, Jesus said, John 19:30, it is finished. It is done. We add nothing to that. We take nothing away. We either believe in the finished work of Christ or we don't. And we don't serve a dead Jew at a Palestinian tomb. We serve a risen Savior. He's defeated sin, death, hell, the grave, the devil, the whole deal. And so we're not trying to fight for something that we don't already have. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world.
Now, there are a lot of people that they would call themselves Christians, but they're not walking in that. And they don't think it's right to walk in that. They think that that would be like, you know, beating your chest, America's great, God wins. And
right.
What we're trying to say is, well, there's a biblical view of that and an unbiblical view of that. And we're trying to give the biblical view that we're supposed to know Jesus died for us and saved us. We're supposed to know he gave us that victory. We're supposed to know that.
Yep.
And that's not hubris. That's biblical.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I wrote this book, Put on the Armor of God. That's God's terminology, not Greg's terminology. We read the back of the book. It doesn't end with the word, oh me. It ends with amen. We win. We win.
It's beautiful. So you said you had how many people in your church this Sunday?
We had 26 states represented this past Sunday morning. They fly literally
physically?
Physically under the tent. 26 states.
26 states.
There's not a Sunday that goes by that people don't fly from California, Oregon, Washington State, Texas, Florida. Just to be in one service.
And you want to know what kind of sacrifice that is? You got to wear that dumb mask on the plane. That is a sacrifice. No, seriously, this is happening. I spoke in Rob McCoy's church. I spoke in Jack Hibbs's church. Mm-hmm. I've spoken in a few of these churches around the country, and it is a phenomenon.
It is.
It is a phenomenon. When I came out onto the pulpit at Jack Hibbs's church, it took me 30 seconds to take in what I was looking at.
They're massive.
I said, what is this? It was like people as far as the eye could see.
Mm.
And I realized that this has happened since COVID. People have had enough.
Yes.
And they are turning to voices of reason, voices of confidence and strength, voices of truth.
Amen.
And voices of Jesus. And so this is a phenomenon. You got to understand, Greg, you realize this is not normal. In other words, for people to be able to do church online and to say, like, you know what? I love Jack Hibbs. I love Greg Locke. Man, I'm gonna listen to them once a week. That wasn't possible years ago.
Right.
So something, God works all things together for good, including overreach by the government, including COVID, whatever that. God can use these terrible things for his purposes, and it sure seems like he's doing it if you got people flying from around the country to Tennessee.
And the beautiful thing is, those that don't get there, they watch every week. We have 100,000 people every week that watch our live stream. That's amazing numbers. I mean, that's daunting and humbling. 100,000 people a week watch our live stream.
It's just astonishing. But this gives me hope, and I want to give my audience hope. This is exciting.
Yes, it is.
This is so exciting because you said there's maybe 20 pastors like you standing up, but there's millions and millions of Americans who are just so excited to see that we didn't just lay down. You know, and you think about it, California, this kind of illustrates the point. Things got so bad in California that suddenly all these pastors and churches popped up, and you know, who knows how many people are getting fed the meat, not the milk.
Yeah.
In these days. Man, so are you preaching in your church most weekends?
Yeah, I'm there every Sunday. I never miss. No matter how much I travel, I never miss Sundays.
Wow.
Because we have so many people just come in just to meet us, just to say thank you for what you're doing. And so my wife and I are always there.
Isn't this wonderful? Yeah, it's beautiful. Just love this. This is so exciting.
We're going to have you. We want you to come.
Well, I'll be honored. I'll be really honored. But it's such a beautiful thing, and I think we all need to get encouraged. And when I have visited these different churches, I have been mightily encouraged, just amazed. I was just in Leesburg, Virginia, at Cornerstone Chapel. It's another one of these churches. They are standing up. This is Leesburg, Virginia, just outside the Devil's Beltway there. All right, I'm talking to Pastor Greg Locke. We're going to be right back. Folks, the book is Weapons of Our Warfare. Don't go away. Folks, I'm talking to Pastor Greg Locke. The book is Weapons of Our Warfare, Unleashing the Power of the Armor of God. It's kind of like a how-to, isn't it? Because a lot of people, they have this head knowledge that I'm saved, but they don't know that they have to walk in it.
Yeah, it just breaks it down like a manual, just chapter by chapter, word by word, and I think it's going to be very helpful. It's already been super helpful for everybody in our church that's bought it. They love it.
Well, let me ask you, if people want to find your church online, where do they go?
The biggest thing to do is go to Pastor Greg Locke on Facebook, and the blue check mark will come up, and they'll be able to find us there. Also on YouTube. If they Google us, there'll be a lot of unsavory things from CNN, but other than that, they can find us there.
Isn't that beautiful? If CNN's attacking you, you're over the target.
Yes, you are. Well,
I want to talk to you again about your growing up, because we didn't get there. Yeah. I mean, what kind of a home did you grow up in, and what happened to lead you to become, you know, the evangelist you became and that kind of thing?
Well, my father was in the Tennessee State Penitentiary for about the first 9-10 years of my life, so I had to rebuild a relationship with him. I didn't know him growing up, and have done that. He's been saved, baptized, loves the Lord, and is struggling with cancer right now. But my mom remarried a gentleman, my stepfather, that still to this day we have very little, if any, relationship. I'm 45 years old. I could tell you the very place I was, the very clothes I was wearing. I could tell you that the spot where I was standing, the one and only time in my whole life that he ever told me he loved me. I was just longing for that acceptance. And so I was really reaching out into a lot of juvenile delinquencies. And so I was arrested 6 times, on probation 5 times, and finally got shipped to an orphanage. And so I lived in a boys' home for 4 years, from 16 to 19, only about 40 miles from where I live now. And so I came to Christ. There was a preacher, Dave Benoit, Louisiana evangelist, and he was preaching one night, and the children's home had taken me to a revival meeting. On Friday, I got mad. On Saturday, I went back, and I got saved. And that was in 1992, April the 17th, 29 years ago. And within weeks, God began to work on my heart to preach. I was so nervous. I didn't want to tell anybody. And so I went to summer camp, surrendered that year, and in November of 1992, I started preaching the gospel and went off to seminary in North Carolina, then traveled as an evangelist, and like I said, 15 years ago, started the church when I was 30.
This is so exciting to see what God can do in a life.
Yes.
I mean, most people would say, oh, with that kind of a background, you're in and out of jail, you're in and out of this, and that. Yeah. Forget it. That guy's going to have a tough life. Not according to God. I mean,
it is new creature in Christ.
Beautiful. But isn't it amazing?
It is.
And what I always find interesting, too, is that, you know, the very things that the devil will use in our personality, once God gets a hold of them, that fire, that, it's almost kind of funny, because if you're subversive, you know, in your nature, you're kind of like, the devil can use it or God can use it. And now God is using it.
You're born with the same gift, so the devil can pervert it. But once you get saved, the Holy Spirit can use it.
Right. So the fire you have and the mischief I see in your eyes, that's God's mischief.
Yes, it
that is God's mischief.
100%.
And it's a beautiful thing. Amen. And I think of all the people maybe listening right now who know somebody who's really troubled, and maybe we don't say it enough on this program, Jesus really is the answer. Mm. People have a lot of trouble in their lives, and they don't think that that's for them somehow. They're afraid of it. They don't want to be like those religious people they know. Maybe they just haven't met the right religious people.
Yeah, well, the problem is, I think it is religious people. And we're talking about a viable, real relationship with Jesus Christ, who is not just a way to heaven. He's the one and only way to heaven. And he gives life and life more abundantly and peace that passes all understanding. And all these verses that we know, and it's beautiful when you finally surrender your life to Christ. Old things are passed away. All things become new.
And that, you know, people need to know that and repeat that just as you did. I mean, to understand that it's not incremental. It's not like, well, I'm kind of not feeling well and Jesus makes me feel better. No, 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 no. You're dead.
Yeah.
You're a corpse and Jesus makes you alive.
Amen.
And you need to train your mind to understand that is what the Bible says.
Yes.
Now you can walk in half measures or you can walk in what it says. But it says that.
Yes,
and your life is proof of that. I mean,
absolutely.
To go from where you were to where God brought you, that's not normal.
Yeah. And the tagline for our church is, where broken people find new meaning to life. And we're reaching broken people literally by the hundreds. Because we're all broken, right? We're all broken. Somebody said the only reason the Pope thinks he's perfect because he's not married. If he ever got married, his wife would tell him different. Right? We all have sin. We all have problems. You
well,
know?
That's normal popes. This Pope, I still don't think he would get the message. But no, it is a beautiful thing. Now, so your church is Mount Juliet, Tennessee.
Just outside of Nashville.
And so like, where is that? Near Franklin?
We're 7 miles straight east of the airport.
Yeah. Straight east of the airport.
Yeah.
So you're easy to get to.
Easy, super
I'm thinking
easy.
Of flying there for church.
Come on.
No, that's it's a wonderful thing. Now, when you say that you refuse to shut down when, you know, during the lockdown and that kind of stuff, I mean, I would think Tennessee would have been one of the least ugly states to be in because you have a pretty good governor. But
right.
You still had...
still had a lot of pushback. Probably the first couple of months, there wasn't a service that went by that the sheriff people didn't show up. But they like me. They love my videos. We backed up. They're like, we're not going to arrest you, Pastor Locke. We get it. It's nonsense, but they keep calling. So once I didn't go to jail, once they didn't shut us down, then the state started showing up. The county started showing up. They tried to violate us on all different types of ordinances and, you know, things like that. They even tried to get us on a faulty sewer permit just to shut us down. Then the neighbors got together, pulled money together, bought the land next to us because we were buying it so that we couldn't expand. And the Lord ended up turning all of that around, and the other neighbor rented us the land behind us, and so now we have it for parking. And so it's really been a nightmare, but it's been a beautiful nightmare. It's been brutal, but beautiful. I say it's been brutal, right? And so we're just not going to stop. We're not going to shut down. And so we just keep going and going and going.
And well, people need to understand you're in what I would consider a good state, a red state,
right.
with a Christian governor and stuff. But you're still when you're facing. I mean, I say this just as a teaching thing for folks that. Look, a lot of good people don't understand things, and they need to be educated. They need to be made to understand that what everybody is saying is not necessarily true.
Right.
And one of the things that I've been noticing, too, is that this has been a season where a lot of people have been genuinely misled by the media, by medical professionals.
Yeah.
We're in a weird time right now where science, journalism have all fallen under a shadow, and they have really destroyed. We used to have a basic confidence in that stuff, and now we know whatever Fauci says is probably wrong. Whatever this governor says is probably wrong. It's a new thing for Americans where we're needing to think for ourselves a little bit more, which is good and bad. We're coming to the close of an hour. We're going to keep you for another segment. Folks, I'm talking to Pastor Greg Locke. The book is Weapons of Our Warfare, Unleashing the Power of the Armor of God. It's the second in the series. The first book we talked about 6 months ago, it's This Means War. And we'll be right back with Pastor Greg Locke. Don't go away.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of years without crying. Now I want to understand. You sheltered me from harm.
Hola, Alben.
Hola to you, too.
Quiero invitarte a mi fiesta de cumpleaños.
I agree 100%.
Because I am old.
Okay.
Okay, Alben.
Yes, sir.
We've got a lot of fun stuff in this. This is like an entertaining segment we're going to do right now before we go into the substantive hour two.
I just realized that card I got in the mail, I was telling you about this before we went on the air today. You get to a certain age, and then you get advertisements in the mail that are like a little creepy.
You didn't. What'd you do with it?
I hung on. Oh, here it is.
Here,
if you're on video, okay. If you're watching on video, you could see this card. I actually got this from a cemetery, okay? And they said they're having an open house weekend. And they
said. Wait. Albin, this is what happened with Fun Fact Friday. I got to shut you down.
Okay, shut me down.
And I got to explain to the people. Albin is not joking. It's funny, but this is 100% true. You got to tell people, this is real. You're not making this up, man.
Yeah.
Not a joke.
They send it to the Sadar family or current resident, okay? Because
in case you already died while that was in the mail.
To another cemetery. It's an open house weekend where you can actually check out their mausoleums, their traditional cemetery, the crematorium, all these options.
Wait a minute.
This is...
This is not a joke,
yeah.
But you make it sound like you're goofing
but you get
around.
To a certain
this
age
is
and
real.
You're open. You're fair game.
Okay, it's
right?
Called Gate of Heaven Cemetery Open House Weekend.
Yeah,
only the dead need apply.
That's right.
But if you're living and you want to make plans for dead people, you can go there. There's an open house. We don't want to give these dates, but it says this is not a joke.
No,
this is not a. It seems like a joke. It says crypt and grave discounts.
Yeah.
On open house dates only,
right.
!50
cents off, right?
And you're like, these sons of guns, I got there one day late, and I got to pay full price for the crypt. Man, you're ripping me off.
Okay.
When I'm dead, I'm going to haunt you bad.
Yeah.
Okay, so it says, begin your pre-planning arrangements today. Many choices are available. Mausoleum crypts. Yeah. Interior and exterior.
You can check them out inside.
Traditional cemetery plots, double and triple depth. Oh, the savings.
I'm going to go 4 times deep this time, yeah.
Cremation options available, family plots.
Fun for the whole family this weekend, folks.
I mean, but this is in Hawthorne, New York.
Okay.
GateofHeavenNewYork.com.
Well, see, at least it's a gate to heaven, right? It could have been another kind of gate.
That's pretty presumptuous of them.
That's right.
It could be a gate to purgatory because it's a Catholic cemetery. Do you ever think about that?
All right, Albin,
we got to get serious. Okay. I mean, we're not making that up, but it's hilarious. Okay, I got to read another letter. I find this funny. Dear Mr. Metaxas, I appreciate listening to your videos podcast while working around the house. But yesterday I listened to your interview with Dr. Simone Gold while milking a cow. This woman makes it seem like it's just something that just happened. I can't explain it.
Yeah.
Obviously, we have a lot of dairy farmers in our listenership.
Yeah.
And the cow's named Molly, and Tess from Alberta, Canada writes, I'm not sure what Molly thought of it. I forgot to ask, but it probably made her day. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. God bless you. Sincerely, Tess, a young adult from Alberta, Canada.
Wow, thank you,
First of all, as a young adult,
let
me just say thank you for listening to this program because I was once a young adult and I didn't listen to programs like this. And so we really appreciate it.
Okay.
Albin, we've got a lot more to talk about.
Father's Day weekend coming up, so you got to go to salemnow.com and check out The Streets Were My Father. You got to check that out. CSI, you got to give today. CSI, free a slave for $250 at CSI.
We're not making this up, ladies and gentlemen. This is all true.
That's right.
CSI, you go to MetaxasTalk.com. If you want to do something amazing, and I urge you to get your kids involved to make them understand that there's evil in the world, but there is good, God's good in the world, and that we can do something to fight the evil. And we can do something very specifically in this case. Go to CSI. At MetaxasTalk.com. It's an astonishing opportunity that we have to fight evil. We don't just have to complain about it. We can actually do something about it.